going. I need a moment to set up because I'm a diva. But hi, I'm Mike. If I don't know you, hearing Courtney talk about what's the thing called that's happening after service today? Discover Grace. Thank you. Maybe think about, like, Sonia and I did that 11 years ago. We've been a part of this church for like 11 years now. And time flies when you're having fun. Like, it's just crazy. So yeah, 11 years ago, we got married the following year, Pastor Bernie, we had all of three of our kids arrive, you know, while we're part of this church. This church has been an amazing family for us here in Rochester. I just love it. And I have the extraordinary privilege of speaking this morning on the Lord's Prayer as part of our Lent service. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to just launch right into it, and we're going to go from there. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace, Lord, for how you are faithful to give us what we need each and every day, whether that's physical, emotional, spiritual. Pray that you'd continue to change our hearts as we follow after you. Give us your desire for your will. And Lord, just give me the words to speak today. May they be yours and not my own. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we're in the middle of a season called Lent. And Lent is a tradition in the Christian church. And if you're unfamiliar, it's the period of 40 days leading up to Easter where we prepare our hearts and prepare our minds to celebrate the resurrection, which is the most important day on the Christian calendar and the most important day in the history of the world, really, because that's when Christ rose again to fulfill his promise and to restore the relationship between us humans and with God the Father. And as we go through the season of Lent, we're doing a series on the Lord's Prayer, which is possibly the most famous passage in the Bible. It's something that if you grew up in the church, you probably memorized as a little kid, or if you have Catholic background, you prayed regularly every day. And what it was is the Lord's Prayer is just Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. And his disciples are his followers, and we are his followers today. And so this is a great way for us to learn how we can approach God on a daily basis in prayer. And so I'd love for us to just recite the Lord's Prayer right now as we get started, just as a reminder and as a way to, like, put ourselves in perspective to hear the message today. So all together, 3, 2, 1. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have thank you. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Good job. You're better at reading than I am. So we've already covered in this series our Father, approaching God as our Father and asking him to give us our needs, but also approaching him in a way that remembers that he is holy, that he is set apart, that he is above all, that he has a kingdom and a will, and we're asking him to make that happen here on this earth. And then today we're going to be talking about verse 11, which is, give us today our daily bread. But before we get into the daily bread part, I just wanted to recap the Our Father aspect. And God is our Father. And we can approach him in ways that are different than some of the ways, you know, like how we speak to somebody depends on our relationship with them, right? Like how you speak to your boss or how you speak to your wife is very different. And how we speak to God as our Father should be different as well. And so I'm going to illustrate that with a short phrase on how this works. Your relationship dictates how you speak to somebody. So if you're in a job interview or you're going to work and you have a meeting with your boss and you want to know how they're doing, you just say, how are you doing, ma'am? How are you doing, sir? Okay? How you doing? If you see a long-lost friend, you embrace them, you hold them close, and you're like, how are you doing? It's a little bit different. Same question. And if your wife comes downstairs and she looks great, you're like, how you doing? So with God, like, I got this from a message from a pastor called Tim Keller, and God as our Father is that him being our Father allows us to have a different relationship with him. It's not like our landlord where, okay, God, I'm going to do X, Y, Z for you, and you'll do A, B, C for me. Landlords have this, like, contractual basis where we signed a lease, okay, I'm going to not burn the place down. I won't invite too many people over. You know, I owe you $300 when I move out to clean the place or whatever. And in return, you're going to pay my heat, and you're going to, you know, make sure that everything, you know, doesn't leak, and when something breaks, you fix it. That's a contractual basis, right? With God as our Father, we don't have a contract. We have a relationship. At least that's how it's supposed to work. And so when we're asking him for our daily bread, really what we're saying is like, Daddy, can I please have what I need today? Can I please have what I need today? So God is our Father, and we can approach him as such. Not all of us have had great relationships with our dads, and so sometimes that's really hard to understand. But when we're thinking about coming before him and asking, think about him as somebody who loves you, who cares about you, who wants to be in relationship with you, and knows already what you need. And so when you ask, he is so willing to give it. The Bible talks about this in the Lord's Prayer as bread. And bread is like super basic element of food. It's been around for maybe 30,000 years, at least as far back as 8,000 years ago in Egypt. And from, you know, the very dawn of cooking, humans took seeds, mashed them up, mixed them with water, and like either fried them or baked them or whatnot to make food last longer, be portable. In the Middle Ages, knights would eat off of bread. They wouldn't use plates, which I think is hyper efficient. They take thick slices of hearty bread, put food on top of it, eat that, and then eat the plate, and then they'd be done. Not bad. You know, they didn't have dishwashers, so that just made things more efficient. Bread really became an art in 450 BC in Rome, where the mill was invented. You can get flour, like, super, super fine, and then it allowed all this beautiful, like, breads that we see today when we go to Panera or we go to a bakery, or it allowed for cookies and all these wonderful things that I'm not eating right now because Sonia and I are doing the Whole 30. And so it was super ironic when Kelly asked for me to preach on bread when I'm not supposed to be eating bread. So thank you, Kelly Smith. But when we ask, give us this day our daily bread, we need to think about it, I think, from two perspectives. One is just bread is an element of life, and we all need food on a daily basis. Some of us may have experienced severe hunger or food insecurity at one point or time. And I feel like it's super refreshing to know that God, our Father, cares about what we need today just to make it, whether it's food, shelter, clothing. This is an experience that's sometimes foreign to us in the West, because even if we have this insecurity, there are outlets, you know, that we can go to. There's a food pantry here at Grace. And actually during Lent is a time for us to share what we have with others. So it's an opportunity for us to think about who are those in need and how can we help meet those needs? How can we be the hands and feet of God in this time? And so God, our Father, cares about our daily needs. He's willing to give us our daily bread when we ask him for it. And I think for me, this is a picture of Pastor Kelly with his shirt off. For me, the other aspect of thinking about give us this day our daily bread is a challenge, right? It's a challenge to put yourself in a place where you are so reliant on God that you just need some bread today. God, I've put myself in a place where I am wholly reliant on you. Please stretch my faith. Please give me what I need today. And in this time and age and era and where we live in the wealthiest country in the history of mankind. And I think it's sometimes scary to let go of everything that we hold on to so that we can ask for more of God, so that we have to be in a position where we are totally reliant on him. Are we willing to be reliant on God for even our most basic needs? Because when you do that, the cool thing is Jesus says that he promises to take care of those needs. There's a time where he's teaching and talking to his disciples, and he said, you know, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or to eat or clothes to wear, for life is more than food and your body is more than clothing. says, look at the birds or look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but God feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than any birds? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? I love that verse. We worry so much about the future, but are we really adding to our life? No, we're actually probably taking it away. And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the flowers and the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Let Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Don't be concerned about what to eat or drink, Jesus said. And don't worry about those things. These things dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers. But as believers, we are called to trust God for everything we need. We are to seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give us everything we need. God is going to provide for us. He's going to give us what we need today. But even if it's not in such abundance and amount that it's not yet what we'll need tomorrow. The verse is, give us this day our daily bread, not give us this day our winning lottery ticket, right? Because a winning lottery ticket would make life a lot easier. But God is not necessarily looking to make our life easier. God is looking for a deeper relationship with us and for us and our hearts to be changed so that we are more and more reliant on him and seeking to do the things that he has for us to do. And sometimes that means we may not have bread today or as much as we want for tomorrow. But if that test or that trial builds our faith, then that is storing up treasures in heaven. That is focusing on the things that God wants to give us, not necessarily the thing that the world promises. But I think this also goes beyond physical needs. I think Jesus is talking about what we need emotionally and spiritually as well. So when he tells us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, he's talking about our deeper needs, the things that we feel on the inside. If you believe the story of the Bible starts with man, humans, in perfect relationship with God. It was in this beautiful world, you know, this Garden of Eden, where we had everything we needed. We had all of the fruits and vegetables and bread and whatever we needed for today for our physical needs, but we were also wholly complete by God because God walked and talked with humans in that garden. He had a relationship with them. We were able to see God face to face. But then we screwed it up. And through sin, we were kicked out of the garden. We're forced out, forced to work for our food, forced to work, you know, with our own hands. But like more importantly, that tore us apart on the inside. It took the way that we are created to be in perfect relationship with God, reliant on him for all of our needs, spiritual and physical, and pushed us out into the garden. You know how you sometimes feel like you just feel like there has to be like more in life? Like you feel like hungry for something. I'm not talking about food. You just feel hungry. You feel a need. You feel whole within you. And what that is that's us longing to be back the way we were created, to be back connected to God, being able to see him face to face, to know that he's our Father. So whatever you're hungry for today, this is an opportunity to pray and ask for whatever you need today and every day on a daily basis. So if you need peace, God is peace. If you need relationships, we have relationships here. We have relationships with the one who will never leave us. If you need love, you can know it unconditionally by knowing Christ more. If you need joy, God is willing to give it to us every day to build that within us and within this community. And if you need healing for emotional, physical needs, God is willing to give it to us or to give us the strength to face that, to suffer through it. Everything that we hunger for, that we truly hunger for as humans, can be found in Jesus because he is enough. And he says it. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He told his disciples, look, you can pray for daily bread, but I am that bread too. I'm going to meet your physical needs, but I'm also going to meet your deepest, most intrinsic needs. Christ is the bread that we're really hungry for, that we need to receive daily. And the best thing is, like, this bread just doesn't run out. It doesn't go stale. It doesn't get all crummy, you know. And there's also a great variety. You got your flatbreads and your focaccia. I'm, like, very much missing bread right now. You have your pizza dough. You have the nice loaf. You know, that bread is enough. And as we get, as we seek after Jesus, as we ask him to meet our needs and to fill those, he's going to change our desires, and he's going to give us more of himself and make us want more and more and more. And it's never going to run out either. That's the most incredible thing. This is a photo of me and Sonia and some friends from church, Wendy, with this guy in the front and center. His name is Jacques Lenoir. We met him in Haiti in 2011, and I've seen him a few times in the years since. And Jacques was, he was like dropped or fell as a child, and he broke his leg. And it stunted his growth, and he walks with a limp. He's kind of like hunched over, and he kind of like drags his foot. It's a little twisted behind him. And so in a country where it's very hard to have a job anyway, it's even harder for him to seek gainful employment because he can't do manual physical labor. And so what he does is he runs like a roadside soda stand. There's a little cooler, and he sells drinks. That's what he does to provide for his family. When we met him, he was taking care of his mother, who was blind and in her 80s, and she had the one room in the house and the one bed to herself so that she could have, like, a nice place to sleep. I'm not exactly sure where Jacques slept, but his daughter, who you see there with a baby, had a tent in the yard. And so, you know, this is a family where they never knew always necessarily where their next meal was coming from or where the next week's income was going to come from. But I remember, you know, I was talking to him, and, you know, I was talking about to church one day, and he doesn't know much English. We kind of speak a little bit in Creole and rely on translator, but he said to me in English, and he's holding his Bible, he said, Jesus is my food. And this is a man that knows what hunger is and knows the value of food, and he said to me that Jesus is my food. And that's how we should be thinking, too. Jesus is our food. We don't need the massive 401k. We don't need a raise at work. We don't need a bigger house or a better car or a better education or better shoes. We need more of Jesus. This bread symbolizes our reliance on God. And bread is found throughout the Bible. In almost every book in the Bible, there's some reference to bread, and in many cases, it's very deeply symbolic. But it also is revealing, through that symbolism, the attributes of God and how God thinks about us and how God cares for us. And so if you think back to the story of, like, Exodus, when the Israelites were migrating from Egypt to the Promised Land, they spent 40 years in the wilderness in a place that was desert and dry and didn't have a lot of food sources and had no Hannaford there. And so what God did is he provided bread, daily bread, every day in the form of manna. This, I don't know, I Googled manna. There are no known photographs because photography was invented thousands of years later. But, you know, they said it looked like a blanket of snow. And every morning, Saturday would be on the Sabbath. So Sunday through Friday, the Israelites would go out and they would gather manna. They would gather this daily bread. And it wouldn't keep to the next day. It would go rotten and spoiled. And so they'd have to go out, and they'd have to, like, have faith that for 40 years, every day, God is going to give us what we need. And he did. He provided it for decades. In the temple, when the Israelites got to the Promised Land, they built a temple. There was a table in the holiest place, you know, right outside where the room where God lived, or the presence of God dwelled among his people. There was a table there, and they would put out these loaves of bread. We don't know exactly what they were shaped like, but they definitely were cupped of some sort. They could have been like a boat or a canoe. It could have been like this kind of like basket, like image you see here. And there were 12 of them placed out in front of the presence of God. And what what they represented was each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I was, like, you know, Googling bread to prepare for the sermon, and I, you know, Googled showbread, and this image really struck me because it was like the 12 tribes of Israel, his children, who, if you believe, if you believe in Jesus, you are his child, was placed before the presence of God in like a U shape, you know, like a cup shape, so that the presence of God could fill each of the tribes, and the presence of God could fill each of us. Jesus spent a lot of time with bread, and he fed thousands of people in two different occasions. And so, you know, the famous story is Jesus is teaching, and the crowd has been out for a couple days listening to him. There was no TV. There's no live broadcast. So everyone's, like, sitting on this hill and listening to Jesus, but the people are getting hungry, and there's 5,000 men and all of their children and wives, so thousands of people. And Jesus tells his disciples to go and feed the people. And they're like, yeah, we don't have that kind of money. Like, there's no food. Like, we can't do that. Like, what are we going to do? And somebody's, like, probably facetiously says, oh, I found this kid. We can use his lunch. He's got some bread. He's got some fish. And Jesus is like, okay. So he thanks God for it. And he tells the disciples to break it apart and pass it around. And before you know it, every single person has eaten their fill, and there are 12 baskets of bread and fish left over, symbolizing that God doesn't run out of food and doesn't run out of resources and doesn't run out of love and doesn't run out of peace and joy. Whatever it is we need, there is more than enough found when we come to God. And then Jesus himself, like we said, he declares himself the bread of life. And this is the key to what God offers us in this verse in the Lord's Prayer. It's not just meeting our physical needs, but it's more of Jesus each and every day, so that when we need something, or when we're willing to admit that we need something, he is there to meet that need. The very last bread story from Jesus was the very last night on earth with his disciples. The next day, he knew he was going to be going to the cross, and then he knew he was going to die for our sins. And by doing so, give us a way back into that garden relationship. Give us a way back from our sin, to forgive our sin, to cover our sin, and to restore that relationship that we had lost thousands of years ago with God. And so what he did is he took bread, and he broke it, and he passed it to his disciples, and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. From now on, you should do this regularly whenever you meet together and remember me. It was a symbol that through Christ, you know, through the bread of life, we could have the life that was promised. And so, as we wrap up today's message and we get ready to take communion, and we do that same act that Jesus did 2,000 years ago, I want to ask, what are you hungry for today? Where do you need God in your life? And then ask him. If you have a physical need, ask him for help. And then honestly, ask whoever's sitting next to you or ask somebody at the church, because we would love to come alongside you in that. Or ask how you can help meet the needs of others. And if it's something on a spiritual level, and we all need something, like right now, I just need a little bit of peace. My wife and I are building a house. We're GCing ourselves. It's a full-time job. We're on a diet. It's hard. but God is there, and God is still good enough. Even when I am weak, he is strong. But what do you need? We all need more God today. So I'm just going to ask the elders to come and the musicians to come, and we're going to stand and we're going to take communion together, remembering who is our bread today, tomorrow,